The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Hey, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is the On Point with Victor show. You're tuned into the America's Web radio station. I am Victor Armand. There is, yes, I know it's 12 o'clock for those of you listening live. We are coming to you a little bit early today. We're doing, 2 hours today. You know, there's lots to talk about. I don't have to remind you. I mean, and you listeners, you're amazing. I've gotten so many messages, so many things over the weekend, so many of you just wanted to, you know, talk about what you saw and what you're feeling. And I mean, it was an emotional road coaster of a weekend. I mean, that's putting it lightly. It was pretty amazing, folks. You know what and it reminds me of what I say, and I got it from Eric, from Eric Erickson. Yeah. For those of you who found me through Eric, then you know what I'm talking about. And those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, I fill in every now and then for Eric Erickson. He's a nationally syndicated radio host, out of Atlanta, but he's on, I don't know, 50 to a, some odd stations across the country. But he says, he has this saying, and he got it from, gosh, folks, this goes back in history. I cannot remember who it was, but I believe it was someone in the English government way back when that said, events change things, my dear boy. Events change things. And Eric, you'll hear him say events change things. And you'll hear me say on this show, events change things. And ladies and gentlemen, you just saw one of the biggest examples of what we mean by that. Here we are in the midst of an election season. You had Joe Biden, who just crashed and burned a few weeks ago in a debate, which I don't, any of you who are living under a rock, or those of you low information voters who get your news from the Comedy Central or from entertainment TV, you guys had no idea that Biden was in such peril. You had no idea that you thought we were just making fun of calling him Dementia Joe. No, the man has dementia. The man is on decline cognitively. Now, is it dementia? Is it Parkinson's? I don't know. And I feel bad about having to say this, but it's clear that Joe Biden is not cognitively there. Now, many of you, we found out you didn't know because the media has been covering this. The Democrat Party has been covering this. The Biden administration, of course, has been covering this. So you've been lied to over and over and over. I mean, how hard is it right now? Be honest with me, because I know some of you Democrats are listening to me. Be honest with me. How hard is it to be a Biden voter right now? How hard is it for you to continue to say, yeah, I'm voting for that guy. You know, that guy that can't walk straight, the guy that can't complete a sentence, the guy that couldn't stand in a debate without looking like he was about to fall over, and the guy that couldn't answer a question because he kept losing his train of thought. That guy. How hard is it to be a Biden voter today? I mean, listen, ladies and gentlemen, you got to wake up. You got to wake up. But this is what we mean, though. This is what we mean when we say events change things. Events change things. Like I said a few weeks ago, when some of you, well, I don't know where that's coming from, folks, but I hear it too. but you'll hear you'll hear us say events change things. And here's a prime example of this past weekend, but it started really when you looked, 2-3 weeks ago when Joe Biden crashed and burned at the debate. And then you had a lot of media people lying to you again, saying, oh, we didn't know he was that bad. Whatever, they knew. But a lot of you low information voters didn't know, because the Biden administration's been covering this up. The Democrats have been covering this up. The media, the Democrat sycophant media has been covering it up. So that's an event. That's an event that changed things. That changed the complete complexity of this campaign, of the election season that we're in now. Finding out that Joe Biden really is on cognitive decline. Finding out that Joe Biden is in no condition to be current president, let alone be reelected. So then that started that event. The debate, that event, that kicked off, up until this weekend, up until this weekend, that kicked off the event or the rolling calls for Biden to drop out. Biden should drop out. Biden should drop out. I mean, we were nonstop. I mean, it was, well, some people were questioning whether Biden could last this last week. I, of course, told you guys Biden's not going anywhere. I don't know how they could remove him. But they were putting the pressure on. But then another event happened. You had Saturday night. You had some whack job, out of their mind, crazy person who was probably an MSNBC watcher, who tried to take, who took shots at President Trump and damn near killed him. I mean, folks, you don't understand, maybe some of you don't understand how close Donald J. Trump was being to not being here today. I mean, we were less than an inch away from having a complete different show today. It was crazy. It was crazy. But this crazy person got up on the building and took a shot, several shots, and killed a rally goer. And there's two others that are in critical condition and almost killed President Trump, former President Trump. And I mean, it's a crazy thing that happened. But that is an event that changed things. So that's the saying that you hear Eric say, you hear me say, events change things. And it came, like I said, there was a, cannot remember what the English guy's name was, but way back when the, I believe it was during World War II. But there was a guy, I believe, in the British government, and somebody asked him, what happens from here? What can we do? And he says, events, dear boy, events change things, dear boy. And here we are. Here we are. So Biden being pressured and pressured and pressured for the last 2 weeks or so to drop out, and the pressure was building, folks. It was building. I still don't think they could have got rid of him, but it was building up until Saturday. And then an event happened, and we all saw it. And now Biden's he's not going anywhere. Now it's off the front pages. The calls for Biden to step aside, the calls for Biden to step down, the battle for will it be Kamala, or will it be the great white hope, Gavin Newsom, will it be the crazy lady who comes up with stories of being kidnapped in Michigan with the help of the FBI. Folks, I saw... You gotta be under a rock to not know by now that whole story about Gretchen Wilson. Sorry, Gretchen Wilson. You are far more talented than this lady, Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan. But, this lady, they concocted a story with the help of the FBI about her being, wanting to be, or somebody wanted to kidnap her or some story like that. It was a fabricated story. And I saw just yesterday a headline, I can't remember where it was, still pushing this fake story about her, she was almost kidnapped. I mean, it's unbelievable what the Democrats will do. And these fake stories they come up with, they have to look at, what is that guy, Smollett, came up with a story about two dudes beating the crap out of him. I mean, it's unbelievable. Democrats have to make stuff up, folks. It's just like this religion of climate change. They have to make things up and seize on catastrophes and make them political, because what they're predicting doesn't come true. None of it does. I mean, it's just amazing. It's crazy. But anyway, folks, listen, events change things. And that's what you've got to remember. So now here we are. Donald Trump almost gets assassinated. And up until that point, they were trying to push Biden out the door. Now, there's not going to be any calls of Biden, not for a while at least. So Biden's pretty safe for now, and he was safe anyway. But now, the media is falling over themselves because they have to talk about Trump almost being assassinated, and they can't stand it. They can't stand it. And I am really, really going to try to hold back. I'm going to try to hold back what I really like to say about MSNBC. And I'm going to say some things, but I'm not going to go full board like I want to. But it is amazing that the media, like MSNBC and CNN, are having trouble discussing the almost assassination of Donald Trump because they think it puts Trump in a good light. I mean, folks, it's unbelievable. If you weren't seeing this play out with your own eyes, it's just, it's hard to believe. But yet they're still trying to spin and put different narratives on this. Just like weeks ago when they were telling you that videos, live videos of Biden stumbling around stage, being led off stage, crashing and burning at debates, that those videos were somehow doctored. That's what this is how much these politicians will lie to you. The Democrat Party, I don't know the last time they spoke the truth. I really don't. But these are the events that are happening that are shaping this election season. And right now, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, the almost assassination Saturday night of Donald Trump was a amazing eye opener. And I will tell you, it changed Trump. It changed him. I mean, he is a humbled man and rightfully so. Rightfully so. I believe that he felt the hand of God or a guardian angel, and Donald Trump is a changed man. If you watched Donald Trump come out at the convention last night, because I mean, this is what I mean about crazy events. Crazy person takes a shot and almost assassinates Donald Trump. Donald Trump, by the sheer grace of God, survives because of turning his head at a certain precise angle that prevented that bullet from entering and going through his brain. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, I'm probably not going to do justice at describing to you so where you can actually understand how close to death Donald Trump was, and how it is divine intervention. Listen, if you're not a believer, you better start believing. I don't know what else to show you or tell you why you shouldn't be a believer. It was the divine intervention. I mean, oh my goodness, folks, listen, I'm going to get into more, but I don't know. Maybe you can hear it in my voice. It's tough to speak about this because of how close Donald Trump was to death. And listen, this isn't really about Donald Trump. This is about a president of the United States, a former president, or the number one candidate for president, being shot at. Folks, we are the United States of America. We don't do this kind of stuff. I mean, it's the last assassination attempt was against Ronald Reagan, and that was a left-wing moonbat. I'm going to talk today about left-wing violence because that's where violence is in this country. Violence is coming from the left wing. It's coming from the progressives. They will scream to the top of their lungs and try to project and say that it's right-wing violence. No. Ladies and gentlemen, this is left-wing moonbat violence. And it's sad. It's sad because this country, these left-wing moonbat progressive Democrats are turning this country into a third world country. And we can't stand for it. And by golly, did Trump, listen, this man's instinct, I've told you before, any of you who think Trump's not a smart man, you're kidding yourself. But this guy and I've told you he's got great instincts. He's just naturally got good instincts. He proved it. Listen, I want you to try and imagine that you are standing, speaking to a crowd, and somebody takes a shot at you, and that bullet pierces and blows part of your ear off of your head. And then you realize within seconds, I'm bleeding. I just got shot. And then you drop to the ground and you're thinking, am I going to get shot again? I mean, thank God for the Secret Service. Listen, there's problems with the Secret Service. That was clear. And I'm going to get to that. But the agents that were around Trump that jumped on him and shielded him. I mean, folks, listen, that takes special people and those Secret Service people on the ground next to Trump who covered him. Yeah, there's some issues, but wow. They did an amazing job of covering him. And think about it. If you were in Trump's shoes and you're up there and you hit the ground because you just got shot, you don't know how bad it is, but you know you're bleeding. But then within seconds, you realize I'm all here. I'm still thinking. I'm still here. I'm breathing. I'm still here. This shot may have got me, but it didn't get me fatally. It didn't get me critically. I'm okay. I mean, I'm sure all of these things must have been going through his head when he was on the ground. And then when he stood up, here's the thing. Donald J. Trump knew instinctively there are so many people here. There's so many innocent people here just expressing their right, their freedom, their God-given right to freedom and liberty and to support anyone they support. They were there to support him. They were there, the people who were in danger because of a left-wing whack job shooter. And yes, I'm saying left-wing because this guy's going to be, you'll see. This guy will be proven to have been a left-wing, probably MSNBC viewer. But this crazy person takes a shot and Donald Trump gets hit. He hits the ground. I mean, put yourself in that situation. You get hit. You hit the ground. You're trying to assess whether you're okay or not. You've got Secret Service people pounding on top of you because they're trying to shield you from being shot more. You hear the gunshots. You don't know up until the point when they clear, when they say, shoot her down, you don't know if you're going to get hit again. But you have Secret Service people all over you to make sure they take the bullet instead of you. It's pretty amazing, folks. It's pretty amazing. So imagine you're down there, you're on the ground, you're bleeding, you're assessing. And trust me, you can't help. That's just the way human body works. You're assessing, you're trying to assess how bad you got hit. So I'm sure Donald Trump was on the ground thinking, how bad am I? But you quickly will realize, as he did, I'm okay. I'm still here. I'm okay. I'm still here. And the instincts, the incredible instincts for Donald Trump to realize in that moment of just being shot at by several gunshots, one of them hitting you, he still realizes and remembers everybody, every innocent person that's exercising their God-given right to freedom and liberty to support who they want to support. They're there to see him. So what does he do? What does he do when the Secret Service, listen, the Secret Service protocol, once it's the shots are clear, once the shooter's down, you move and you get Trump out of there. You get the asset out of there. You've got to get the asset out. Even though they knew the shooter was down, their protocol is as quickly as you can, once it's safe, you move the asset and you get the asset out of Dodge. But Trump, his instincts, he knew those people were there to see him. He knew they were there to support him. Him. And being part of his ear shot off. When the Secret Service stands him up, and listen, protocol, shield him. That their protocol is to not let a Trump be entered into the line of sight. So that's why you saw them trying to cover them. It was kind of funny to watch the 5'2" Secret Service lady try and cover a 6'3". That would be like me trying to cover Donald Trump. I mean, see, here's why we need to elect a short president. Here's why we need somebody like me to be president. Because how easy would it be to shield me? All right. But listen, folks, listen. The instincts Donald Trump has, he knew everybody was there to support him. He knew people were there supporting the country, supporting the Constitution, supporting freedom, supporting liberty, and supporting him. Because he's the one literally taking the shots. He's the one that's there to lead. And these people were there to support him, and Donald Trump knew that. So what happened when the Secret Service stood him up and they're putting up the wall around him? Donald Trump says, wait, not only does he want his shoes, can't blame him, I'm sure his shoes are expensive. And come on, we all know, when we get some shoes broken in, the last thing we want to do is put on some new ones. So I don't blame him for asking for his shoes. So he got his shoes, but then what did he do? Then he said, wait. And he made them part so he could face the crowd and give them the fist, I'm okay. Now, the media can't handle this. They're trying, as if it wasn't bad. Listen, I am telling you, if we ever find out the truth that this shooter was probably an MSNBC watcher and probably bought into the left calling Trump a Nazi, Nazi this, Nazi that, the left still, they cannot help themselves. Even here we are, not even 48 hours or so after the shooting, the attempted assassination of Donald Trump, the media was out there already calling him a Nazi again. saying that fight was Nazism, that this fist in the air. No, folks, no. You have a man who was just shot on the side of the head and by the grace of God is alive today, was able to stand up after the gunshot, seconds, minutes after being shot in the head. Donald Trump stands up and acknowledges the very people that are there to be, that were there for him. And he acknowledges and he lets them know, I won't be beaten. This will not stop our movement. That's what he was saying. That's his instincts. So yes, in the moment, he gets shot in the head and he yells, fight, fight, fight. Well, I think I'd be yelling, fight, fight, fight too. We're going to get into this shooter being on that roof and people seeing him and law enforcement, the local law enforcement not doing anything. I got to tell you, if that was in Texas, if that was in the great state of Georgia, I'm pretty confident that some good old boys would have climbed up to the top of that building and thrown that shooter right off the top of that building. I don't think we would have waited for the law enforcement. I don't. But for Trump to get up and say, fight, fight, fight. Folks, that's instinctual. That's somebody who got shot getting up going, I'm going to fight on your behalf. If you see that dude, you fight on my behalf. And honestly, if we're in the great state of Texas, if that were in the great state of Georgia or Florida, I'm pretty confident that people, good old boys, would have taken it in their own hand. They would have put their beer down and said, hey, they would have turned to the wives and said, will you hold my beer? And it wouldn't have been a Bud Light. It would have been, I don't drink beer, so I don't know, but maybe it would have been a Corona or something. But they would have said, hold my beer. I got to go throw this bozo off the roof. I'm not going to let this progressive douchebag shoot President Trump when law enforcement doesn't seem to be able to figure out that they need to get on that rooftop. I mean, listen, more information is going to come out about that, but I'm just telling you, I don't think good old boys of Georgia or Texas or Florida would have just stood by and let that shooter move around on that roof. So, but listen, folks, I mean, just try and put yourself in that situation. You're a former president, or even if you're not a former president, you're just imagine standing and addressing a crowd and getting shot in the head. Somebody was aiming for your head. And by the grace of God, you turned your head just enough so that bullet took off part of your ear instead of going into your brain. I mean, and then you hit the deck and then you've got Secret Service all over you to guard you from second, third, fourth, fifth shots. And then you stand up to be removed from the stage and get out of the area. But you take the time, you take a few seconds to look at the crowd and go, I'm okay. I'm okay. You're okay. Our movement is okay. We will not be stopped. We will fight. We will fight. We will fight. We will fight. And all that means is, hey, you missed. And now we're going to move on and we're going to protect this country. We're going to make America safe again. We're going to make America wealthy again. We're going to make America great again. We're going to live by the Constitution. We're going to have freedom. We're going to have liberty. How is that a bad thing? How on earth can the media feel sleep at night and feel good about themselves by trying to say that that Donald Trump rising from the ground, blood running down his face, not even sure if how bad of a situation he's in, takes a second to look at the crowd and say, hey, I'm okay. Fight. Let's fight. Let's fight. I'm still standing. That's the message that Donald Trump was saying. That's strength. That is strength. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody around the world saw that. Every despot around the world that is begging and hoping and they're praying to whatever God they pray to that Donald Trump does not get reelected. That's what these despots around the world, whether it's Putin, whether it's Kim Jong-un, whether it's the whack jobs in Iran, whether it's the Taliban in Afghanistan, I don't care where they are, every despot on this planet saw the strength in Donald Trump Saturday night. They saw the strength in the movement that is the support behind Donald Trump. They saw Americans. Listen, folks, go back and watch the video. One of the first things that I noticed when those shots rang out, one of the first things, listen, this was live on TV, ladies and gentlemen. You can find the video. that when those shots rang out and Donald Trump grabbed his ear and hit the deck, the people, you show me a place where there's been a shooting where people didn't run and trample each other, where you had injuries from trampling because people, and look, you can't blame anyone when shots ring out, especially this day and age, you can't blame people for running. But these people at that rally, they didn't run. They didn't trample each other over. They all hit the deck. They all stuck. They stayed there with Trump. That is symbolic. That, ladies and gentlemen, is symbolic. And maybe no one else is talking about it but me. But this is the kind of stuff I notice. This is the kind of stuff I notice. And trust me when I tell you, the despots around the world, this is the stuff that they notice. The last thing that Putin wants to see, the last thing that Kim Jong-un wants to see, the last thing that the mullahs in Iran want to see, the last thing that China wants to see. What's that guy's name? Xi. President Xi, the last thing any of these despots want to see is a strong, united, United States citizen. When these people saw, listen, trust me on this, folks. Do not doubt me. When these despots across the world saw Donald Trump stand up in the middle of Secret Service and Secret Service trying to shield him and usher him, and he says, wait, I will acknowledge the people out here that are here to support me and let them know I'm okay. When he did that, every despot around the world saw that and went, we don't want this guy. And then they saw the citizens, the American citizens that stood around behind Trump, in front of Trump, around Trump. They didn't run. They didn't trample each other to get away from gunfire. They hit the deck and they stayed put. They didn't leave Donald Trump. This, my friends, is so symbolic, maybe even more than they know. Maybe even more than the people that stood there and didn't run. Maybe they don't even know how symbolic this is. But I trust me when I tell you that every despot, every communist, socialist, Marxist, authoritarian whack job around this world, they saw the strength in the American citizen. Something that's been missing. It's ever since Biden got elected, this has been missing. But there it was on full display. There it was. A strong American citizen standing behind a strong former president who is on the cusp of being president once again. Which will mean this country is on the cusp of being strong once again. A strong leader with strong citizens at his back. Folks, that is a United States that is not to be messed with. Not to be messed with. That is the message that every despot around the world took from Saturday night. Now, maybe I'm one of the few talk show hosts talking about this, but this is the kind of stuff that I see. And don't doubt me on this, ladies and gentlemen. Don't doubt me on this. And if you were looking for a reason to be able to vote for Trump, if you're one of those weirdo, wacko, never Trumpers out there, if you're a Democrat and you thought you're supposed to be Democrat all your life, but you realize you cannot vote for a dementia patient because he's taking this country down, and you were looking for a reason to vote for Trump, well, there's your reason. There's your reason. Strength. This is strength in the presidency. This is strength in the United States. This isn't about just one man named Trump. This is strength, folks. This is strength. This is what we need. And we will be right back.
If you want the truth about politics, medicine, weapons, classic cars, and more, you'll want to tune in to America's Web Radio. You can listen to all of your favorite shows live at www.americaswebradio.com or on demand on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. That's www.americaswebradio.com.
If you have lost a loved one and were left with a firearms collection and are not sure how to dispose of them safely, or you may have firearms you no longer want, this message is for you. I am a licensed FFL firearms dealer in the state of Florida, specializing in estate firearm purchases. It is very important that all firearm transactions be handled according to state and federal laws. You can contact me for information at firearmliquidationservice@outlook.com, or you can call or text me at 407-921-8100-247 and ask for James. Again, for information, contact me at firearmliquidationservice@outlook.com or call or text me at 407-921-8100. All communications are strictly confidential.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, join me, Roger B., every Tuesday at 1400 hours right here on America's Web Radio for the Locked and Loaded Show. We will talk about guns, weapons, ammo, gun accessories, prepping, and so much more. So be sure to join us every Tuesday at 1400 or 2 p.m. for Locked and Loaded on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, he's going to come in early. Hey, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry about that. Me and the producer were chatting during break. So lots to talk about. Man, I tell you what, folks. I know it's hard to try and put yourself in that situation. It really is, folks. It really is. If you've never been shot at, it's something else.
It's a hoot.
It's a hoot. But, I cannot imagine taking a round to the ear. Ladies and gentlemen, it's what had to go through his mind at some point was, how is this happening? This isn't supposed to happen. You've got protection, you've got Secret Service. I mean, it's one of the best agencies in the entire world. Even though they got some problems clearly, and it's we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but, I'm almost at without words with about some of this stuff, but I will tell you, folks, take this, I'm serious. Every despot around the world, the last person they want to be elected president is Donald J. Trump. That's the last person they want. They would be giddy if the American people were dumb enough to vote for the dementia patient and the cackling woman, Cackling Harris. They would be giddy if those two won. Just think about it, ladies and gentlemen. Think about it. Who made Iran rich again? Well, the Bidens and the Obamas did. Who made Russia rich again with their natural gas the way they rule over Germany and control so much of Europe? Well, the Bidens did that. The Democrats did that. Who's making Russia rich with a war in Ukraine? Who stood by and allowed this war? And who's prolonging the war? Well, that would be the Bidens and the Democrats and unfortunately some establishment Republicans. These politicians love war, and it's sad. It's sad, but who's getting rich? Who's getting rich from this? Putin is not hurting. The Russian economy is not even hurting that bad from this war. It's sad, folks. It's sad. But, you look at, Kim Jong-un was, this guy was sitting in his room going, oh gosh, please don't look at me, Trump. Please don't look at me, Trump. Please don't look at me, Trump. And, I'm not doing anything, Trump. He went from that to, I'm gonna be a big, naughty guy again. I'm gonna start launching rockets again. I'm gonna start talking big again. I'm gonna swing a sword again. Because Biden is weak. The Democrats are weak. And the United States looks weak. But I will tell you what. Saturday night, when those people didn't trample each other off that stage and out of that rally, they stood there with Trump. And Trump stood up, blood running down his face. And he put his fist in the air. And he says, we're going to fight, we're going to fight, we're going to fight. I'm okay. That is the kind of strength that this country needs. That is the kind of strength that is coming. Because when Trump is reelected, ladies and gentlemen, I believe, listen, I know Trump uses hyperbole, and Trump, he's a marketing guy. He's a businessman, but he also knows marketing. He knows, he just knows. He's got great instincts and he embellishes. He uses words wisely. And, it's funny. And if you know how Trump is, it's no big deal. The media can't stand it because their guy can't do it. But Trump can. And Trump uses hyperbole, and he uses it well, and he uses embellishment and things like that. But honestly, when Trump says that he'll have the Ukraine-Russia war ended before he takes office, it might happen. It might happen. Now, it's probably far-fetched. I mean, he's probably going to have to take office and start doing some negotiations, but I do believe he will end that war. Donald Trump is not going to let that war in Ukraine go on. He's not going to let Putin just keep marching and do what he's doing. That's going to stop. But you kind of have to believe, after seeing what we saw Saturday night, when we saw that kind of strength, and with the American people behind him, that is the biggest fear that Putin has. And with Donald Trump getting reelected before he takes office on January, whatever, he just might have that war ending, or it will be winding down by the time he takes office. Let's put it that way. I do believe that Donald Trump is a strong, strong leader, and the people around the world know it. The despots around the world, they know it. And what they saw Saturday night, wow, what they saw Saturday night, man, my goodness, folks. Well, anyway. All right, folks, listen, I must apologize. I did miss last week, and I apologize. I don't like missing shows, but I did miss last week. I was in Ohio, and I got to talk with some awesome voters. Boy, I tell you what, this was before the shooting and before the assassination attempt. And I mean, person after person, voter after voter that I talked to in Ohio, they can't wait to vote for Donald Trump. I mean, I was around the Cleveland area, and I talked to, brown people, black people, white people, this people, that people. I mean, the only people that I could find that had something negative to say about Trump was, a couple of Europeans that I met. And I am amazed at how disillusioned many European people are. Now listen, I met some wonderful people from Denmark, some really funny dudes from England. Australia, New Zealand, just some good people. And I did not talk politics with all of them, but I did ascertain just from a few comments that were made that I could tell where they stood. But that's okay. That's okay. They live in their bubble, and that's fine. That's fine. They live in some beautiful parts of the world. Europe, you will not hear me say anything bad about some of the places in Europe. There's some beautiful places in Europe. Now, I will talk bad about their governments because Europe is a socialist crap hole. And I'm sorry, it just is. Now, I don't mean that to mean that it's not a nice place. If you are okay with socialism and you don't mind being taxed to the hilt and you don't mind having just enough, then hey, Europe might be for you. If you don't mind living in a 500 square foot house, well, what they call a house, but it's really 500 square foot flat. If you're okay with that, then Europe might be for you. If you're okay for houses that have maybe three bedrooms or four bedrooms and one bath that everybody shares, maybe Europe's for you. If you're okay with that, if you're okay with waiting in line to get healthcare, then okay, maybe Europe is for you. Yeah, I have problem with the European Union. I have problem with the governments of Europe. They are far too socialist. Some of them, not all of them now, don't get me wrong. There are some bright spots in Europe that are trying to dig themselves out of socialism. So, hey, kudos to them. I hope it works. Even with all of that said, there are beautiful, beautiful places in Europe. There's amazing amounts of history in Europe, and I think everybody should go. Everybody should experience it. If you get the chance, put it on your list. Go experience. Now listen, I understand that different times and you gotta be careful because there are some whack job people out there, some whack job terrorists out there, so be careful where you go and be careful when you go. But I encourage everyone, there's just beautiful, beautiful places in Europe. And I encourage everyone to see them and go see it for yourself. You can see how these people live. I mean, and I promise you, you'll be ready to come back to the United States. You will be ready to come back to the United States. I've traveled a lot, folks. I've traveled a lot, and I love some of the places I've been to, and I can't wait to go back. And I've got wonderful family that lives in beautiful parts of Spain. Just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. But Couldn't wait to get back to the U.S. Every time. Can't wait to get back to the U.S. You see, in the United States, with capitalism and freedom and liberty, even when you've got a dementia patient in the White House, folks, and listen, I need to make this clear. Even when we stumble and we elect weak leaders, the United States is the place to be. The United States is the place to be. This is the country where no matter who is at the helm, we have the Constitution that keeps them at bay. We have a Supreme Court that keeps them at bay. And we have that yearning for freedom and liberty, even though we have people in this country that just don't realize it yet. But we do have a yearning for freedom and liberty. But in this country, even with stupid, dumb, bad, weak leaders, if you've got the fortitude, if you've got the work ethic, you can get around them. You can escape them. No matter the damage that Carter did, Jimmy Carter, back in the 70s, no matter the damage he did to this country, no matter the damage that Biden's doing to this country, the damage that Obama did to this country, it was a pretty bad recession under Obama. It was a bad recession under Carter. There's a pretty bad economy going on right now with Biden. But even with that, you're still in the greatest country on the planet. And if you've got the work ethic, you'll find work. If you've got the fortitude, you'll find something to do. You'll find a way to, now listen, you're going to struggle. Many people do. And we shouldn't struggle in this country. We really shouldn't. But it happens. It happens when we have weak leaders like the Democrats and Joe Biden. But in this country, you still can. You can dig out that fortitude. You can really, really have your work ethic, and you can get by until the strong leader comes along. Ronald Reagan came along, and it didn't take him long to fix Carter's mess and put us on the road to prosperity that even Clinton enjoyed. Ronald Reagan fired this economy up on such high, whether you want to call it gas or rockets, whatever you want to say. Ronald Reagan had this economy firing so well that it lasted even into the Clinton years. Even Clinton couldn't screw it up. I mean, he tried, but luckily Newt Gingrich and the Republicans controlled the Congress for much of Clinton's presidency, and they were able to restrain some of Clinton's mess. But along comes Obama, and he puts us in pretty bad recession, and then Donald Trump dug us out of it. And then along comes the Chinese virus, and Biden and the Democrats and his merry band of authoritarian wannabes, and now they're putting us into a pretty bad spot again with the economy. We have too many people in this country living paycheck to paycheck. We have too many people in this country buried by debt. We have people in this country that are trying to stretch credit cards because they need to put food on the table. It's sad. And this is happening under Democrats. You've got gas prices that's breaking the bank to fill your car up so you can get to a job. That's because of the Democrats. You go to the grocery store, and $100 used to feed your entire family for the week. Not anymore. That's Joe Biden's fault. That's the Democrats' fault. But you know what? You can scrape by and just do what you do. And there's many of you out there that have 2, 3, and 4 jobs. You're doing what you need to do because you have the work ethic. And you live in the greatest country. You live in the greatest country, but you know help is on the way. You know help is on the way, because when Donald Trump gets reelected, folks, I promise you, it isn't going to take 6 to 12 months to turn this country around. And the economy is going to let loose. Inflation is going to come down. They're going to drive some prices down. Competition will get prices down. And more money is going to be in your pocket. And you're going to see a strong United States. And then you're going to see the world fall in line. You're going to see Donald Trump go pick up all the peace that was happening under Donald Trump in his first term. That stuff's going to come back. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. None of it's going to be easy. Donald Trump's going to have to work really hard to get those peace deals back, because Biden torpedoed all of them. The Democrats torpedoed all of them. You have a complete and one of the most incompetent executive branch group of people that we've ever had in this country that are just screwing things up everywhere. But we will get through it. We'll get through it. And Donald Trump hopefully will be reelected as the 47th president of these United States, and he will bring things back. He will bring things back. But all right, folks, listen, when we get to the top of the hour, I'm going to recap a few things, and I'm going to get into a whole lot about this shooting and where we're going from here. But I really had to get off my chest. Just, you know, it was an emotional weekend. It was a very emotional weekend. But I do want to get this, for those of you who are listening now and may not be able to listen to the second hour, I want to get to a soundbite, because one of the things that's striking me now still is the Democrats still haven't toned down. They're talking, toning down rhetoric. Joe Biden, the dementia patient, actually came out. And look, he did the right thing. He came out and he said, this is wrong. This can't happen. No president should be shot at. This shouldn't happen. And all those things that he was saying, it was the right thing for Biden to do. But then Biden goes on an interview and after saying that we need to tone down, now what should Biden have done? Biden should say, not only do we need to tone down the rhetoric, but he himself needs to turn down the rhetoric. He didn't say that. He should have said that. But he told you, and they're trying to tell Trump people turn down the rhetoric as if it was their rhetoric that got Trump shot. And then he gets on an interview last night and gets combative with the interviewer who was nice to him, didn't really give him any hard questions. But Joe Biden, that dementia takes over and he gets pretty mad. But Joe Biden already went back to saying democracy is at peril. If Donald Trump wins, democracy is going to die. This is the kind of rhetoric that got Donald Trump shot the other night. But they can't help themselves. The Democrat, listen, Joe Biden cannot change his campaign because he can't run on issues. He can't run on the economy. He can't run on gas prices. He can't run on no wars. He can't run because he screwed everything up. So when you screw everything up, you got to make new narratives. You got to invent narratives. So they've created this narrative that somehow pay no attention to the dementia patient that is causing wars and got us on the brink of nuclear war with Russia. Pay no attention to the dementia patient who's driving up every cost of your life, everything that cost you money in your life, that Joe Biden and the Democrats have driven those prices up. Pay no attention to that. What they want you to believe is this guy over here that just got shot is somehow an existential threat to democracy. The party under Joe Biden that is trying to knock people off ballots, trying to keep RFK off the ballots, a third party guy who they shouldn't even care about, but they're trying to keep him off the ballot. That's how scared they are. The party that is in Arizona right now trying to keep a ballot initiative about a border wall, secure borders, they're trying to keep that off the ballot. The party that is actively keeping things off the ballot so you can't practice democracy, so you can't vote. That party is the Democrat Party. They're telling you that somehow Donald Trump is a threat to democracy. The guy that just took a bullet for all of his, literally took a bullet for his supporters. They're telling you that guy is somehow, they're still ratcheting up their rhetoric. And folks, listen, we're gonna get to the end of the week here and they're gonna be full on. But listen, the media hasn't even stopped. They were out calling him a Nazi again last night. Donald Trump, the people in the RNC convention had the audacity to cheer and replicate Donald Trump. Fight, 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 fist in the air. We're all okay. We're all okay. We're still in this. They're trying to tell you that that's Nazism. They drag some so-called authoritarian act. Listen, if you're trying to call Donald Trump an authoritarian figure, you are not an expert on the history of authoritarianism. You are not an expert on the history of fascism. Fascism, if you want to learn fascism, you just go look at the Third Reich. You go look at what Hitler and his cronies stood for. That is not Donald Trump. That is not conservatism. That is not freedom and liberty. That is not someone that is supporting MAGA. So when the media drags out some so-called expert and they're trying to tie Donald Trump to authoritarianism and Nazism because the people cheered Donald Trump coming out and they cheered him for standing up and saying fight, fight, fight when he had blood running down his face because he took a freaking bullet. I mean, folks, you've got to start paying attention to this. The Democrats has lost their mind. The Biden administration has nothing but made up narratives and they have nothing but to try to scare you. And listen, they're scaring crazy people into taking actual assassination attempts against Donald Trump. This blood is on the Democrats. This blood is on the MSNBC and some of these news agencies that have spewing rhetoric, calling Donald Trump a Nazi, calling the supporters Nazi, saying MAGA is Nazism, MAGA is fascism. This is terrible. This is the party, the Democrats, who have been telling you that the violence is on the right. Well, let me play this soundbite. I'm going to play a soundbite for you folks, and I want you to listen to this. This is Democrats, so-called, who are telling you that they're not violent. This is Democrats calling for violence and standing for violence and not having a problem with violence. This, I'm about to play for you folks. All of this happened before the shooting. This happened over the past few years. Some of this was recent, some of this was old. But I want you to listen to this montage of Democrats. These are Democrat supporters. These are Democrat officials. These are Democrat bureaucrats. These are Democrat elected officials. And these are Hollywood Democrats. I want you to listen to how they talk. And you tell me that this kind of rhetoric doesn't get into the head of a crazy person and makes them do the things that they just, that this guy tried to do against Donald Trump on Saturday night. Listen to this.
Just throw a punch. You have to be ready to throw a punch.
Donald Trump, I think you need to go back and punch him in the face.
That I thought he should have punched him in the face.
I feel like punching him.
I think I'd like to take him behind the gym if I were in high school.
If we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
No, I wish we were in high school, I could take him behind the gym.
I will go and take Trump out tonight.
Take him out now.
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump.
Show me where it says that protesters supposed to be polite and peaceful.
I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
Please get up in the face of some Congress people.
People will do what they do.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind. And you will pay the price.
We're going to go in there. We're going to...
But this is just a warning to you Trumpers. Be careful. Walk lightly. And for those of you who are soldiers, make them pay.
If you had to be stuck in an elevator with either President Trump, Mike Pence, or Jeff Sessions, who would it be?
Does one of us have to come out alive?
You hear that, folks? You hear that? Those were all Democrats. Did you hear the Democrat who said somebody needs to put a bullet in Donald Trump? That was not that long ago. That was maybe weeks ago. And now look what happened. A dutiful, crazy person, probably watched some of this, got on a building and by millimeters missed killing the former president, Donald J. Trump. This is the rhetoric of the left. Everything you've just heard from Democrats calling for bullets to be in Donald Trump, from Democrats calling you to go beat people up, from Democrats saying if you're a soldier, listen, that lady who just said if you're a soldier, then you go make them pay. She's I believe a state Democrat elected somewhere. She's speaking directly to Antifa. She's speaking to BLM. She's speaking to this radical, militant wing of the Democrat Party, that those that call themselves Antifa. And some of them on the BLM crap. She's telling people and calling them soldiers. That's how you know she's reaching out to the militant side of the Democrat Party. And she's telling them to go make them pay. What does she mean by that? Look, lady, we will gladly take, I know lots of good old boys in Georgia that will gladly put down their beer and face your Antifa. I don't want to see that. Let me be clear. I don't want to see that. Because you bring Antifa to the face of a bunch of beer drinking, stadium stomping NASCAR fans. It ain't gonna end pretty for your Antifa folks. It just isn't. But listen folks, I have fun and I joke because these people are crazy. But I don't want violence. We don't need violence in this country because we're not a third world country. We can go to the ballot box. I know there are issues with voting. I know they're trying to get illegals to vote. I know they're trying to stuff ballot boxes. But we can beat that We can beat it because we talk to people. We take people to vote. You make sure you vote. Make sure your family votes. We can beat the shenanigans with over turnout. Turnout, turnout, turnout. Ladies and gentlemen, we will win. We will win because of turnout. We will win because we have to. And we can do it, but we can do it at the ballot box. We can vote all of these bozos out. Everybody you heard, every one of those, and the ones that were elected officials, they should all lose their job at the ballot box. At the ballot box. They should all lose their job and go and be forced to the retirement line. That kind of rhetoric, folks, and listen, that's the kind of mess. Listen to these people. In fact, the rhetoric from MSNBC is so bad that, listen, they're not Fox News. They don't get that kind of viewage, but they do get a lot of viewage. I think MSNBC is probably the best or the most watched left-wing news side there is. But their number one show, I believe, is Morning Joe. Their rhetoric is so bad, and the officials at Comcast, I guess, because they own MSNBC, but they pulled Morning Joe, their most popular show, I'm pretty sure, they pulled and would not let them air yesterday. I don't know if they aired today. I don't know if they're going to be on all week. But they pulled them down because they were afraid of some of the rhetoric that might come out of those. I'm going to be nice. But the people, Morning Joe and his wife, I think that's his wife, they were afraid of what they would say. Because you probably would have some stupid rhetoric come from their mouths about how this shooter missed or don't miss next time or there's no telling what they would have said. So MSNBC and the officials at Comcast didn't even take a chance by letting them be on. They didn't send them an email and said, hey, tone it down. Tone it down. Stop your rhetoric. You just got somebody shot. They didn't do that. They just took them off the air and said, we're just not going to put you on the air. I mean, folks, this is the kind of stuff you've got to understand. The violence is on the left. You've got a left right now. Today's Democrat Party, as I've said many times, is not the party of JFK. They're not the Democrat Party of yesterday. They're the new Democrat Party of today is an bunch of authoritarian wannabes, and they're violent. They stand with violence. They encourage violence. They look away when you call them out, and they encourage violence. And I just played for you that soundbite where it was Democrat after Democrat after Democrat who was telling you to punch somebody, get in their face, draw a crowd on them, make them feel unwelcome. No, you should never feel unwelcome in your own country. I don't care if you're supporting some moonbat global green candidate. That's your right. And I'll be glad to debate you. But I'm not going to yell at you. I'm not going to tell you or bring violence on you. But look what the left is doing. The left has nothing but violence right now. They have nothing but violence right now. And this, listen, the guy who shot up Steve Scalise and almost killed him, a Republican congressman, this shooter that went and shot up the Republican softball game a few years ago, that guy was a Bernie Sanders supporter. He was a Bernie Sanders rhetoric listening supporter. And he was an MSNBC watcher. The moonbat that wanted to go to Chick-fil-A and buy a bunch of sandwiches and kill a bunch of people and stick them in sandwiches in their mouth, that was a MSNBC watching moonbat. Left wing. Look at the last few transgender mass shooters. Left wing. The rhetoric that is coming from the left, from MSNBC, and from some Democrats, including Biden, this is bad stuff, ladies and gentlemen. This is bad stuff. And I said, here's what's sad. I hate it when I'm right like this. But it wasn't but a few weeks ago that I said something bad is going to happen because of the rhetoric that is coming from the left. And look what happened Saturday night. Donald Trump was almost killed. Millimeters away from being killed. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, it's just sad. It's a sad day in America, but things are going to get better. All right, folks, listen, don't you go anywhere. We will be back for another hour right now, starting in a few minutes at the top of the hour. Come on back because On Point with Victor will be here. Don't go anywhere.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is the On Point with Victor show, hour number two. You are listening to the America's Web Radio station. And listen, if you don't catch this show live, you can catch it anytime you want on Apple Podcast, on Spotify. If you've got an Alexa device, you can ask her to play the On Point with Victor show. You may have to ask more than once. She's kind of stubborn. Oh, am I going to make the Democrats mad already? I'm going to send some libtards to their cry closets very fast. I've already done it in the first hour, but here we go for the second hour. But welcome one, welcome all, folks. This is your lunch happiness time. It is your lunch happiness time, and I'm glad to entertain you during your lunch hour, if this is your lunch hour, here on the On Point with Victor show. My goodness, folks, what a crazy weekend. This is what a crazy month this has been. We're only into the middle of July. I mean, from June, boy, did summer hit and just take off? I mean, if you blink, there's no telling what you're going to miss. No telling what you're going to miss. I mean, this has been crazy so far, folks. It's just nuts. But, I want to say this. I want to say this. Somebody on the Trump team that's listening to me right now, please, when you get a chance, and you're sitting around with just some downtime with Donald Trump, will you please ask him to give you, is it six numbers, seven numbers for the lottery? I think producer Brett, is it seven numbers? I don't know. But I want somebody to sit with Donald Trump and go, dude, please, please just rattle off some numbers. I'm going to go play the lottery on your behalf, because Donald Trump doesn't need to play the lottery. He should play the lottery. He would probably win. I mean, a lot of people call it luck. I'm telling you, it was the hand of God. It was guardian angels that saved Trump Saturday night. Maybe you can call that luck too. But I believe there's something shining on Donald Trump right now, and he should go buy a lottery ticket. But since he doesn't really need it, he could just forward the numbers to me, and I will play the lottery on his behalf. My goodness, ladies and gentlemen, if you witnessed Saturday night, if you were watching that, and it was live, folks, it was live. I mean, this guy took shots at somebody took shots at Donald Trump, a crazy, probably left-wing moonbat, probably MSNBC viewer, tried to kill Donald Trump and darn near almost succeeded. But ladies and gentlemen, if you really got to break it down. I want you to understand this. Donald Trump turned his head just in time at the precise angle so that bullet wouldn't enter his brain. Think about that. Think about this is why I'm telling you. If you are not a believer, ladies and gentlemen, you need to get to believing. You need to get to believing. Listen, I don't know many of you, whether you have religion, whether you found religion, you let religion go, maybe. Maybe it's time to find it again. And listen, you go do what's right for you. You go find the religion that fits you. But if you don't believe, you need to get to believing. Because what happened Saturday night, I mean, folks, go look at some of the pictures of the flag that was behind Trump and some of the images when the wind was blowing, the images that it created with that flag. I mean, listen, I saw pictures and I assume it's from the flag that was behind him. That's what the picture said. I didn't verify it, but my goodness, there was this, what happened Saturday night and Donald Trump turning his head at the precise angle at the precise time so that bullet didn't pierce. Listen, you've got to understand, had Donald Trump's head been in just about any other position, the bullet would have entered probably right on the top of or through his ear, and when it would have gone right through his brain or headed right on out, probably right at the brain stem. I mean, it would have probably instantly killed him. That's how crazy this is. But because, whether it be the hand of God or the guardian angels, I don't know, folks, but Donald Trump to turn his head at the precise time, at the precise angle, and that bullet, listen, there's a picture out there. You can see the bullet. You can see, well, you can see the trail. I mean, it's after it passes through his ear. You can see, I mean, it's just amazing. And listen, folks, listen, for the, let me say this too. Let me pause for a minute. There's going to be a lot of conspiracy theories. You cannot have an event like this and not have conspiracy theories. Please do not act like the left. If you're a Republican voter, if you're a conservative voter, if you're an independent who believes in self-reliance and you believe in smaller government, if you're a libertarian, if you're any of these things, don't fall prey to conspiracy theories. Don't make the right, don't make the Republicans, don't make conservatism, do not make our side, libertarianism, whatever, don't make our support of Donald Trump, don't make us into the laughingstock that the left is by coming up and concocting or jumping on board with conspiracy theories. Listen, there were issues with the Secret Service, yes. There was incompetency. I don't believe there was a conspiracy. I'm not going to go down that road. So if you want to go down that road, or if you're waiting for me to go down that road, you need to find another person to listen to. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go down conspiracy lanes on this radio show. But I will tell you one that I've heard, one that I heard some people talking about. Oh, look what Trump did when he heard the gunshot. Ladies and gentlemen, let me educate you. Let me educate you. There's an adage out there. If you hear the gunshot, you, my friend, were not the target. If you hear the gunshot, you're not the target. Understand this. A bullet travels faster than the sound, speed of sound. Okay? If you hear the gunshot, you were not the target, or you weren't the intended target. That's all I can say. So I can blow that one conspiracy that's flowing around out there about, Donald Trump heard the shot and I don't remember what. It was set up. It was this. It was staged. No, no. If you hear the gunshot, you were not the target. Because if you are the target, you'll never hear the gunshot. That bullet's going to pierce you before that sound gets to you. So let me put it this way. The bullet is going to, if you are shot at, if a sniper lines you up, especially a United States sniper, military sniper or Secret Service sniper, if they line you up and they fire at you, you're going to drop by the bullet before you hear. You're not going to hear it. let me put it that way. So was easy to put that conspiracy theory down. But again, we're not going to go down the conspiracy lane. Just understand, when you hear some of these conspiracies, please don't jump on board with it. Use your creative thinking process. Use your common sense. Use your logic, your ability to understand logic and work through things. If somebody approaches you and says, boy, listen to this conspiracy theory, sit back and have a conversation with them and question them and use, like I said, use critical thinking. Hopefully you learn that skill. We all should have the skill of critical thinking. Step back and run it through your own cognitive exam. because if you just stop and think about these conspiracy theories that are already flying around, you can debunk them with simple logic and simple facts and simple physics. So just keep that in mind, folks, because listen, they're going to start. Listen, you've got the left out there. It didn't take them 10 seconds to start saying, this was planned. The Republicans did this. Donald Trump staged the whole thing. Yeah, Donald Trump stays getting his ear blown off. Yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense. I mean, it's amazing what these people will come up with. So again, don't give Republicans a bad name. Don't give conservatism a bad name. Don't give libertarianism a bad name. Don't give independence a bad name. Don't jump on board with these conspiracy theories. Use your brain. Think about it. Think about it and run it through the logical test, and run it through the physics test. And if you don't understand physics, get a book. read up on it. Watch Big Bang Theory and you'll learn a little bit there. But what I will tell you, folks, is, I believe, listen, you can believe what you want, but I believe that a divine intervention stepped in and saved Donald Trump. Donald Trump has a purpose. Donald Trump has a mission. And I know there's going to be some fun memes. There's going to be some fun things to talk about. Teflon Don. That Don is unstoppable. Trump is unstoppable. Listen, the one thing I promise you that Donald Trump learned Saturday night is how quickly life can be taken from you. So there's going to be lots of fun memes. And listen, I want to have fun with it too. And have fun t-shirts and everything about how indestructible Trump is and Trump is Superman and all this stuff. But I promise you, Donald Trump understands more than anybody, more than a lot of people, how close he came to life being taken away from him and how vulnerable we all are. Listen, the human body is an amazing thing. The human body is an amazing, amazingly strong, but it's also very susceptible to being just wiped out with a snap of a finger. While we are strong and our bodies are strong, they're also vulnerable. They're very vulnerable. And Trump learned that. Trump learned, listen, trust me, folks, trust me. I could see it in his face last night when he came out on the RNC. I could see it in his face how humbled he is. He's a changed man. But I promise you, listen, folks, I went through cancer treatment to beat cancer that I had, and knock on wood, I'm beating it. I went through a heart attack. I shouldn't be here myself, but I am. But even me going through those couple of things, it's still not what happened to Donald Trump. I don't know how to explain this to you, folks, how close Donald Trump was to death. But I promise you, Donald Trump is in full understanding of how close he was to death. He even said, if you see a quote that Donald Trump, the first interview he gave last night, he said the doctor looked at him and says, "I cannot believe you're still here." So that's how close Donald Trump was to death Saturday night. I mean, when a doctor looks at you and says, "I can't believe you're still here." Listen, I kind of know what that's like because I had several doctors after my heart attack look at me and say, "You probably shouldn't be here." But it's still different. I can't imagine what it was like to be standing there speaking to your supporters and then getting a freaking shot, 223 round, go right through your ear. And by millimeters, you turned your head just enough so that bullet didn't go to your brain. That's amazing. That's just amazing. And so I promise you, when we're having fun with the memes of how tough Trump is and how impenetrable Trump is, I promise you Donald Trump himself understands how close to death he came. And I bet you he has a whole new look, lease on life. He's got a new look on life. I think you're going to hear it in his speech on Thursday night. I think the way that he approaches his speech at the convention is going to be completely different than what he had planned, because this man has a new look on life. I'm just saying, folks, it's just all I can say is wow. Wow. So I tell you, it's going to be fun to watch this convention, folks. Did you see, the convention last night? So the Republican convention started last night, and you've got Donald Trump that's not, what, 2 days from being shot? Not even a full, maybe 48, whatever hours, from being shot, having part of your ear shot off. Donald Trump walks into that convention center last night at the Republican National Convention, and that was a sight to see. And nobody knew, well, at least the public didn't know that Lee Greenwood was going to come out and sing God Bless America. That was amazing, folks. That was amazing. And Donald Trump came out and the crowd went nuts, and you could see tears in Donald Trump's eyes. I'm telling you, folks, he's a humbled man. He has a new lease on life. He has a new look on life. And he has a new appreciation for life. And I think anybody who brushes death like that would have a new appreciation for life. And it was really something to see last night. It was amazing. So, but let me get into a little bit. I have a lot of you that reached out and you want to know my opinion on what happened Saturday night. You wanted to know what my feelings were. And I won't sugarcoat my feelings. I will tell you, I'm going to tell you what happened when death came knocking for Donald Trump on Saturday night. I'll tell you some of the things that I saw, and I won't. And again, I'm not going to sugarcoat this. I touched on this in the first hour. The rhetoric of the left, the Biden's rhetoric, his campaign rhetoric. If you remember, what was it, a year or so ago when Biden stood in an all red background and he'd be forced a couple of Marines to stand there, and they made it look very ominous. And he gave one of the most divisive speeches I think a president's ever given. This is the kind of rhetoric that leads to what we saw Saturday night. I'm going to play a clip. I played this in the first hour. I want to play it again right now. So when you're thinking about what could cause a crazy left-wing person to go grab a gun, get on top of a building, and take shots at a former president, what kind of rhetoric would incite? Is it coming from the right? Have you heard Donald Trump say anything like this? Have you heard, conservatives? You know, conservatives don't march down the streets and burn down buildings. We got jobs. When was the last time you said, and don't tell me January 6th. January 6th was a bunch of conservatives, yes. You had a bunch of Republicans, yes. They were gathered and cheering for Trump, yes. And they were mad because they felt the election was stolen, yes. You have every right to question an election. You have every right. Now, did a few of those people at the behest of a implant of an undercover FBI agent? I don't know, maybe. Maybe some undercover Antifa people? I don't know, maybe. But did some of the Republicans get out of hand? Yeah, they did. They acted like Democrats and they broke some windows and they broke into the Capitol and they shouldn't have done that. But then the police let people in the Capitol. January 6th was not an insurrection. January 6th was not a riot that burnt down a building. They didn't destroy things inside the Capitol. I don't think one thing inside that Capitol was destroyed. A window was broken or two, and they did some damage there. But when they were inside, being escorted by police from building an office, I'm not saying it was right what they did, because it wasn't right. It was wrong. I hate it when I see Republicans start acting like Democrats. I hate it. Makes me mad. So yeah, that was stupid what they did on January 6th. But it wasn't an insurrection. It wasn't a riot. They didn't burn any buildings down and they didn't destroy anything in that Capitol. But you know who does destroy things? Antifa, the militant wing of the Democrat Party. Biden voters took over cities, burnt businesses down, beat people in the streets. They're still doing it today. You had Biden voters that were doing those things, not on the right. But yet you've got the left, the Democrats, Biden himself, people on his team, other elected Democrats, you've got the media all telling you, don't listen to our violent rhetoric, because really it's the other side saying it. Nope, it's not. It's the left. Today, right now, the violence is coming with the left. And so sit back. Turn up your volumes on the, make sure you hear this. Everyone you're about to hear is a Democrat in some way, fashion, or form. They're either an elected official, or they're a bureaucrat, or they're appointed, or anointed, or working for the Democrats. They're Democrat voters. They're Hollywoodians, Democrat voters. All of these people you're about to hear are on the left, and I want you to listen to the type of language that they're using, because some of you have probably never heard this because the media tries to hide it from you. So let's hit this. Hit it, producer. Brett.
Just throw a punch.
Well, you have to be ready to throw a punch.
Donald Trump, I think you need to go back and punch him in the face.
That I thought he should have punched him in the face.
I feel like punching him.
I think I'd like to take him behind the gym if I were in high school.
If we were in high school, I'd take you behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
No, I wish we were in high school, I could take him behind the gym.
I will go and take Trump out tonight.
Take him out now.
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump.
Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
And you push back on them, and you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
Please, get up in the face of some Congress people.
People will do what they do.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price.
We're going to go in there, we're going to...
But this is just a warning to you Trumpers. Be careful.
walk lightly. And for those of you who are soldiers, make them pay.
If you had to be stuck in an elevator with either President Trump, Mike Pence, or Jeff Sessions, who would it be?
Does one of us have to come out alive?
Yeah, there you go, folks. There you go. Now, you heard that. You just heard it with your own ears. I didn't doctor anything. That was just a montage of sitting Democrats or Democrat voters or Democrat bureaucrats or Hollywood Democrats. There you hear it. You heard it for yourself from their mouths. You heard Democrats calling for bullets. You heard a actual Democrat say someone is going to have to put a bullet in Donald Trump. You heard them say that. Now, when you speak that way, have you ever, I've never heard Donald Trump say anything like that, not even close. I've never heard a conservative or a Republican say anything close to that. But you had a, this is how vile and how confident that no one's gonna, I guess, disagree with him or call him out on it, because this bozo was on a freaking television set and, or being interviewed. I don't remember the situation and I don't even remember what capacity this guy is a Democrat, but he actually sat there and said, someone is going to have to put a bullet in Donald Trump. You might as well be looking to the camera and say, if you're a crazy person out there, you're hearing voices, then why don't you hear me? Someone is going to need to go out and put a bullet in. This is what the guy said, and how on earth do they think they can say something like that and not be afraid that some whack job crazy person is going to hear that and act on it? I even said a few weeks ago that if the Democrats don't stop their rhetoric or the rhetoric that they're using, that the rhetoric coming out of the left, if they don't tone it down, that some crazy person was going to take their words and put them to action and they were going to take a shot and make an attempt on Donald Trump's life. And by golly, it happened Saturday night. It happened Saturday night. This is not the kind of stuff that I want to come here and say, I told you so. But I'm not the only one that's been saying this. You had other hosts that were saying that too. We all could see it. Because when you speak the way the Democrats are speaking, you have Democrats from Pelosi to Schumer to other elected Democrats to Joe Biden himself who are drilling into crazy people's heads. Because let's face it, a lot of people who vote for the Democrats today are crazy. A lot of people who would vote for a dementia patient, you gotta be kinda crazy. But there are people out there that are unhinged. There are people out there that are wavering between reality and craziness. There are mentally incapacitated people out there and they're hearing this stuff. So how these people think, how these Democrats will continue to think that they can speak this way and not enrage a crazy person enough to act on the violence or act out the violence that they're calling for. You just heard the montage. You heard a Democrat literally say, somebody needs to take a bullet and put it in Donald Trump or take a shot at Donald Trump. Throw punches, get in their face, do this. I mean, they're calling for violence and now they want to say, oh, well, Trump needs to tone down his rhetoric. Trump didn't tell somebody to go shoot himself. I mean, this is folks, if we weren't witnessing this, it would be unbelievable. If somebody made a movie and said this was based in reality, it would be hard to believe. But we're seeing it for ourselves. We're seeing it act out every day. And how many times have you heard Donald Trump Joe Biden and the Democrats, whether it be in live interviews, whether it be in press conferences, whether it be in off the cuff, whether it be a teleprompter, or whether it be on social media, how many times have they gone out and tried to scare you by demonizing Donald Trump, demonizing the right? They're demonizing the voters. They're demonizing Americans, fellow Americans. I mean, your neighbor, your friends, your parents, maybe your brothers, your sisters. The Democrats are out there just demonizing half of this country. Because if you use your freedom to support Donald Trump, then somehow, some way, you must be a demon. This is what the Democrats are saying. Because the Democrats are out there with the help of the media saying things like Donald Trump is an existential threat. Do you understand what an existential threat is? Do they understand what existential threat is? Maybe somebody needs to define for the Democrat Party what the word existential means. Maybe somebody needs to define it for them, because they're out there telling you and drilling it into crazy people's heads that Donald Trump is an existential threat to the country, that he's a threat to democracy. They're telling you, they're not out there saying, hey, look, we welcome Donald Trump to the battlefield of ideas. We welcome the Republican supporters of MAGA. We welcome you to the battlefield of ideas. If you, Mr. Democrat, if you, Mrs. Democrat, if you, whack job Democrat who wants to vote for a dementia patient, okay, bad host. Listen, if you are on the left and you're so confident with your policy beliefs, then why don't you welcome MAGA, a MAGA supporter, a Trump supporter, a libertarian, an independent, a Republican, a conservative? Why don't you welcome them on the field of ideas? Why aren't you confident enough to have a respectable debate? You can't do it. You can't do it. Listen, little old Hispanic me, I can't have discussions with a lot of Democrats because they immediately start calling me names. I mean, I have had Democrat people call me names just by finding out that I wasn't a Democrat, that I didn't support everything they support, before they even heard any of my ideas or any of my reasoning. They just start calling me names. The left is a progressive mess right now. It is a progressive mess right now. I don't see many people on the left, including elected Democrats, that can come out and say, I love this country because of freedom and liberty. They'll tell you they love this country because of government. No. You don't love this country because of government. The government is not the country. We the people are this country. The government has to answer to we the people. You won't hear a Democrat say that. You won't hear a Democrat of today say that we're a government of the people, by the people, for the people. You will not hear them say that. And if they do say it, well, then you've got to get them to define what they mean by government. Because they think government is there for the people to bow to. No. Government bows to we the people. Government bows to we the people. Because we have the Constitution. The Constitution that is based on liberty and based in freedom. That is the Constitution. So when the left, when you hear them talk about government, they love the government. They want you to work. You know, I talked about in the beginning of the show, I talked about finding your religion because I believe there was divine intervention on Saturday night. I do. I do believe that. I believe their angels were there. They were there protecting Donald Trump. And it's terrible that there's one of the attendees lost his life protecting his family. But you know what? He was there to protect his family in the moment that mattered. This man that was at the Trump rally covered his kid, his children, and his wife, and took a bullet for them. That's something else, folks, that I'm without words, but there were, I'm just telling you, Saturday night there was divine intervention. And when I talk about finding your religion, the Democrat Party of today, the progressive nut jobs, the only religion they want you to find is government and climate change. That is their religion. And if your religion, and trust me, folks, you can tell me you don't have religion. Oh, you have it. You have it. If you're not putting your faith in God, then you're putting your faith in men. And if you're putting your faith in men, you're probably putting it in government, and or you're putting it in an idea like climate change. That's not going to bode well for you, folks. It's not going to bode well for you. All right, let's take a break. And that's when we come back, we'll get into some more sound bites and things like that. So don't go anywhere. This is the On Point with Victor show.
If you want the truth about politics, medicine, weapons, classic cars, and more, you'll want to tune in to America's Web Radio. You can listen to all of your favorite shows live at www.americaswebradio.com or on demand on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. That's www.americaswebradio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, join me, Roger B., every Tuesday at 1400 hours right here on America's Web Radio for the Locked and Loaded Show. We will talk about guns, weapons, ammo, gun accessories, prepping, and so much more. So be sure to join us every Tuesday at 1400 or 2 p.m. for Locked and Loaded on America's Web Radio.
Hey folks, this is Victor with the On Point with Victor show. Make sure you listen every Tuesday, 1 to 2, only right here on America's Web Radio, the On Point with Victor show. Remember folks, I'm not angry, I'm just right. And you can find out why every Tuesday from 1 to 2, the On Point with Victor show, only right here on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the On Point with Victor show. I am Victor Armendariz, the Mexican, not afraid to be American. Not afraid, folks. Not afraid to be American. Not afraid to be a Trump supporter. Not afraid to tell you that I'm a Trump supporter. In fact, I've got on my new Latinos for Trump shirt. So, yeah, folks, listen, I mentioned in the first hour that I missed last week. I was in Ohio and I met a lot of voters. One of the people I met, I just gotta say this, one of the people I met in Ohio last week, right outside of Cleveland, was my Uber driver, my Uber driver was from Puerto Rico. And listen, I don't know what it is, folks. I know I've said this before, but for some reason, I must have the face that just says, talk to me about politics. Because I didn't bring up politics. Usually, I got headphones in my ear. I sit in the back of the car and I tune into whatever music, usually, Iron Maiden or somebody like that. And I just rock away when I'm on my Uber ride from the airport to the hotel. But this guy, he immediately picked up on I was Hispanic. So we started chatting and he started asking me things and what do I do and things like that. And oh my goodness, he started talking about Trump. And he said, Viva Trump, Viva Trump. And I said, so you support Trump? He goes, oh yeah, I support Trump. What about you? And I said, 100%. I said, I'm just glad to see that you're not afraid. And he goes, oh no. He goes, I'm not afraid at all. I'll tell everybody. And listen, this guy had a heavy accent. He could barely speak English, but he could say enough to say Trump. And I was just laughing because the whole ride from the airport to the hotel, this dude was telling me why he loved Trump. And he was telling me how he's seen, bad people and corrupt people and Democrats who act like socialists in Puerto Rico and how he came here and to Ohio and how he loves living there and he can't wait to vote for Trump because Trump is for freedom. Trump is for liberty. And then he said, and then I asked him, I said, well, tell me really what drives you to vote for Trump? And he just looked at me and he says, well, I had more money under Trump. I have more freedom under Trump. I had a better life under Trump. My wife had better happy under Trump. His wife apparently was happier when Donald Trump was president. So, I mean, it cracks me up. It's hilarious. And I love to meet people like that because here you have a dude that could barely speak English, who is a citizen, by the way. I asked him. He was a United States citizen. He got his citizenship last year from Puerto Rico. Well, I'm not even sure where he was before he got to Puerto Rico. But he earned his citizenship. He's trying to learn better English. But he is excited. This is going to be his first election. And he said he cannot wait to vote for Trump. And his son and his family is going to vote for Trump. It was really, really neat to hear. And I'm telling you, folks, I know this is anecdotal evidence, but there is something happening out there. The Hispanics are waking up. I know a lot of black folks voters are waking up. And what do I mean by that? I just mean that there are more people that are starting to think for themselves and they're looking. It doesn't mean they're running to the laps of Republicans, but it does mean that they're looking at Joe Biden and the Democrats going, you screwed me up. You're costing me more money. Gas is expensive, more expensive. Food is more expensive. Inflation is a tax on me. I can't live like this. So I will not vote for a dementia patient. I'm going to go vote for Trump. And it was funny because his Uber driver told me, he kept telling me how everybody kept trying to tell, all the Democrats were telling him that Trump was racist, and he would try to explain to them why he's not racist. He's no racist. And then he said, and you know what I finally told him? I said, listen, you listen to me. I don't care if Donald Trump is racist. I don't care. I want more money in my pocket. I want more. I want cheap gas. I mean, I was dying. I know people sitting next to me in traffic were like, what the hell is wrong with that dude in the back of that car? Because I was dying. Because this dude was so animated. I should have recorded it. Because to hear this guy explain to me what he told some Democrats about, I don't care if Trump's racist. Oh my goodness, it was something to see, folks. It was great, it really was. But that was a Hispanic who's not afraid. That was a man who is not afraid to support Trump. He's not afraid to tell you he's supporting Trump, and he's not going to be afraid to go vote for Trump. So it was really neat to see. So that was fun. That was fun. I had a good trip to Ohio. Good trip. Talked to a lot of people. So, alright. So, I want to get into a little bit. I'm going to talk about JD Vance. I know we're, gosh, time is flying by. Donald Trump picked JD Vance. He picked it's kind of a surprise, but the more I learn about JD Vance, the more I like the pick. And I think that Donald Trump is sending a message. The biggest message Donald Trump is sending by picking JD Vance. JD Vance, ladies and gentlemen, is 39 years old. He's 39 years old. He will be one of the youngest vice presidents. And if he were to have to step in, in the first year and a half, I believe he would be the youngest president ever on record. I'm not sure, but I think. So Donald Trump sent a message by picking a 39-year-old Marine. Producer Brett, hit the number one for me.
Born to those who pledge their lives and sacred
this is for
honor,
J.D. Vance.
Was smiled upon by God and freed from chains and iron collar. He is held aloft on unity and by history revered for preserving peace through strength.
This is what I want you to think of when you think of J.D. Vance.
Years. But for each of those
not
Kathleen
Harris,
more, God has
JD
smiled
Vance
upon the core from the Barbary coast to the eastern sand by sword, by gunner, by bare hand. So has been and shall you wade, though many are born, few are made. Faithful always they shall remain, dogs to loose when war is waged.
That, my friends, is for J.D. Vance, because we now have a VP, or we will have a VP who is a Marine. I don't know if that's happened before. And I don't know about you folks, but I feel pretty darn good about Donald Trump being elected and his right-hand man being a Marine, a United States Marine. You can say what you want, and the Democrats, they're gonna have a heyday. You just wait. They're gonna, inexperience. That's gonna be the word of the week. The word of the week that's gonna go out from the Biden team, and every media person is gonna dutifully follow their orders from the Biden team. Trust me folks, I'm telling you, be ready. For the rest of the week, all you're going to hear is inexperience. He's inexperienced. He has no experience. He's too young. Although, remember, Barack Hussein Obama, I'm old enough to remember when he became president or nominee that he really had no experience and he wasn't a Marine. I'll take a non-political Marine or a non-experienced politician who's a Marine over a community activist any day of the week. And now who else wants to see the debate between J.D. Vance, the Marine, and cackling Kamala Harris? I can't wait for this debate. I don't think they're going to let Joe Biden debate again. I think they're about to bottle him up and hide him. But I do think Cackling Harris is not going to have a choice. She's going to have to debate J.D. Vance. And oh my goodness, this is going to be amazing to watch. Hey Brett, producer Brett, go ahead and hit number two. I don't remember what number two is. But I'm pretty sure I did this one in honor of J.D. Vance also. So let's just have some fun. that again. Start that again, Brett. This is going to be, this should be the entrance. When J.D. Vance enters the stage to debate Kamala Cackling Harris, this is what they need to play. Hey, Pete, go into number three. This, I'm telling you folks, this has got to be the music behind J.D. Vance when he comes in to debate Kamala. Kamala might pee her pants. Hit it, Brett.
I am a marine on the knees trying to kill the machine. Where the DNA leaves you when the light goes green.
That's just great. I can you just picture that? Picture that music and the... It would just be wonderful. I am a Marine. And that's J.D. Vance. I'm telling you, Cackling Kamala, if she shows up, she'll pee her pants. This is going to be fun to watch, folks. Listen, I mentioned in the beginning of the first hour, you guys have heard me say events change things. I've got from Eric Erickson, most of you know I fill in for him on occasion. He will say events change things. He got it from, I think back in World War II, there was some English and I cannot remember who it was, but somebody was asking him about the state of things and how things could change and what could happen and this, that, and the other. And this Englishman looked at him and said, "Events change things, my dear boy. Events change things. So no matter how good something's going, or no matter how you think something is going one way, all it takes is one event. And then things will go spiraling into a different direction." And here we were, leading into this election season. And a few weeks ago, what really changed things? Well, you had the major event that was the debate. And the world saw, especially the United States citizens and low information voters, they saw a dementia patient on stage that was having trouble keeping a sound cognitive mind. Joe Biden crashed and burned at the debate, and it wasn't because he wasn't prepared. I mean, if anybody knows how to spew out the lies and the BS, the political BS, it's Joe Biden. But Joe Biden is in a cognitive decline, and that showed at that debate. Everybody remembers the debate from a few weeks ago. Well, that was an event that spiraled things into another direction, because we went from being told the race is tied, Joe Biden's taking the lead, come back, Joe. We went from that to having the debate to now to after that debate was 2 weeks of Joe Biden's got to quit. Understand this. This is how powerful events are. Before the debate, you were being told that Joe Biden was winning. Joe Biden was beating Trump. Joe Biden was a comeback kid. Comeback Joe. They were already starting to try to create that narrative. And then you were told that all the real live videos you see of Joe Biden being helped off a stage, Joe Biden being directed in Europe because he's wandering away from the group like dementia patients do, Joe Biden shaking hands with Ghost, Joe Biden acknowledging thin air, all of those things you witnessed for yourself, we were being told by the media, by the Democrat Biden administration, we were being told those are doctored videos. Those are somehow, that live video you watched was somehow fake. You were being told that these were fake videos. Then the debate happened and you saw for your own eyes, well, those videos weren't doctored. Those videos weren't fake. Joe Biden really is in cognitive decline. He really is having trouble. That is an event that changed things. So we went from Joe Biden winning to everybody in the bureaucracy, almost everybody, calling for Joe Biden to step down. We went from Joe Biden's going to win to Joe Biden needs to quit. That's how events can change things. And so here we were for 2 weeks. Now listen, this wacko crazy gunman who shot Donald Trump, he didn't just fire up Donald Trump's base. He kind of helped Joe Biden too, because we just went 2 weeks of Joe Biden hanging on by a thread, maybe. I mean, I don't know how they can get rid of Biden. But they were calling for it. I mean, the pressure was building for Joe Biden to step down. It was building and building and building and building, and then an attempted assassination on Donald Trump's life. And now no one's calling for Biden to step down. That's off the news. That's off the front page. Now the front page is wacko tries to kill presidential candidate. And so Biden was extended a lifeline. It's weird. A very weird dichotomy when you've got a crazy mental case who tries to kill one candidate and extends a lifeline to the other candidate. Isn't that, I mean, folks, these are some crazy times we're living in. Some crazy times. You have a crazy mental person who probably took marching orders from, by watching MSNBC or listening to the vitriolic rhetoric coming from the left. And he goes and gets a gun, climbs on a building and takes a shot and tries to kill one candidate while extending a lifeline to the other candidate. Because by wiping the Biden's cognitive decline, by wiping that off the news with an assassination attempt of Trump, now Biden has a lifeline. They're not going to call for Biden to step down now. That's past news. That's gone. That's done. Biden only has to last a few more weeks. And then he's going to be, and they're going to probably try to find a way to virtually make it etched in stone that he's got his delegates or whatever they do to the nomination to do to get the nomination, and it's done deal. Biden's not going anywhere. But with the shooting that happened Saturday night with this assassination attempt on Trump, this has given Biden a lifeline. They're not calling for him to step down. Now, behind the scenes, I'm sure they still want it to happen. But without the public pressure, Biden's not going anywhere. So what a weird dichotomy this is. What a weird dichotomy this is. So, I just sit back and watch, folks, but events change things. Events change things. So now you've got an attempted assassination on Donald Trump, and as if his base wasn't fired up enough, but now this goes beyond the base. This goes to any normal thinking American, any normal American out there who's struggling right now because of gas prices, struggling because of food prices, struggling because of Biden's inflation. Any normal American out there who's going, gosh, you know what? I had a pretty good life when Donald Trump's first presidency, but they convinced me that he was chaotic. So I had to get rid of him. But now I'm living hardship under Biden, and Donald Trump is making a lot of sense. I know he can do the job. I know when he was president for 4 years, he didn't become a dictator. He didn't become authoritarian. He lowered taxes. He killed regulations. His inflation under Donald Trump was 1%. People's lives are better, and they know it. And now they're seeing a moonbat crazy person try and take out the leading candidate for office of the presidency. That doesn't happen. That shouldn't happen in this country. So I do believe now, because of that event, that you've got people who were on the fence about Donald Trump. Now they're going to be in Donald Trump's camp. You even had 50 Cent, that rapper dude, showing support to Donald Trump after this assassination attempt. I'm just telling you, folks, I think Donald Trump's Republican tent just grew astronomically after Saturday night. The American people don't like to see assassination attempts on their leaders, even the leaders they don't agree with. The American people do not like to be put into a third world country status. The American people aren't going to stand by and watch one of their political leaders, even though he's just a candidate, but he's the leading candidate. And the American people don't want to sit and watch people take gunshots at him. And it didn't just take a gunshot. He took a bullet. Donald Trump took a bullet. And then he stood up. Listen, folks, I talked about this in the first hour. You've got to try and put yourself in that situation. You're speaking to a crowd. You get a bullet that takes off part of your ear. You hit the ground because you don't know what else is coming. The Secret Service pounds on you. I mean, listen, I hate to say this, but if the Secret Service pounced on Joe Biden like they did Donald Trump, look, a sandbag took Biden down. A bicycle took Biden down. Going upstairs took Biden down. Can you imagine? Look, two stairs after the debate, Biden couldn't tackle. Jill Biden had to help him down. Can you imagine if the Secret Service jumped on Joe Biden? Why, he would have a broken hip. He might have a broken knee, a broken ankle. I mean, I don't know what else would have happened to that poor dude. But Donald Trump, ladies and gentlemen, Donald Trump takes a bullet in the ear, hits the deck. Secret Service pounds on top of him. He's on the ground. Look at the picture. You can see some, I don't know how somebody got that picture through the bleachers, but Donald Trump, you can see his face, blood running down his face. He's facing the cement and he's, what's going through Donald Trump's mind? Am I going to get shot again? How brave are these people, men and women that are covering me right now? Listen, folks, imagine that. Imagine you're being shot at and Secret Service people, men and women, are willing to take the next bullet by covering you. So Donald Trump, imagine what's going through his head. But all of those things going through, and probably what was really going through his head was, how bad shot am I? I got blood running down my face. I got blood running down my ear. Part of my ear is missing. Did I get hit? Is it in my head? I mean, all of these things must have been going through Trump's head. All of these things were going through his mind. And yet he stands up and he doesn't forget that the people were there to support him, that American citizens were there to support him. And you know what Donald Trump must have noticed when he stood up? Those people in the midst of gunshots did not run. They didn't trample each other. They didn't try to evacuate and kill each other trying to get away from the gunshots. They stood there. They ducked in cover and they hit the deck. But they saw Trump stand up and they stood up. And Donald Trump saw that and he stuck his fist in the air and probably didn't know what to say because he's got blood running down his face, got a bullet in his ear or a bullet that went through his ear. Half of his ear is probably missing. And he stands up and he sees American citizens who were there to support him still after 4 or 5 gunshots, still there to support him. So he does the natural thing because he's got great instincts. He shows them, I'm okay. You're okay. We are okay. And his fist is in the air. We're okay. We're okay. We're okay. And the only thing that comes to him is fight, fight, fight. Because by golly, he just took a bullet. And I would venture to say, if you just took a bullet, you might want to fight back. And Donald Trump is fight, fight, fight. Letting them know I'm okay. And what happens? The American citizen, the people supporting, they jump up from their safe positions, trying to avoid gunfire. They stand up and they're still there. Just like the flag. You know, have you seen the pictures? Have you seen the pictures with Donald Trump when he stands up, blood running down his face, the flag that's behind him? And the Secret Service trying to get him off the stage, the flag that's right behind him. Is it not amazing that our United States flag, Old Glory, for all it stands for, is it not amazing how that flag ends up perfectly situated in a situation like that in the picture? That picture is so iconic. That picture will be in history forever and ever and ever. That picture of Donald Trump being pulled off the stage, blood running down his face, fist in the air, I'm okay, they didn't get me, they're not going to stop me, they're not going to stop you, they're not going to stop our movement. And the flag behind him, as if it were there to say, we aren't stopping, we aren't going to be taken down. We're here, and we're strong. I mean, folks, does Old Glory have a way of being just, I know it's just a flag and I know it's a symbol, but for what it stands for, is it not amazing that that flag just happens to be, I mean, you go back to the War of 1812 when the British unleashed absolute hell on the flagpole. They weren't even aiming for the cities anymore. They weren't aiming for the soldiers. They were aiming their complete bombardment on the flagpole because they wanted Old Glory on the ground. And it was American citizens that wouldn't allow that flag to touch the ground. And then Saturday night, a whack job, crazy person shoots and by millimeters misses killing President Trump or former President Trump. And when they get the picture of Trump standing up, blood running down his face, that flag somehow is perfectly waving behind him. Old Glory has a way. Old Glory has a way to bring people together. And I am telling you, folks, if you've ever needed a reason to be proud of our flag, to be proud of this country, to be proud of a man like Trump, listen, it's not even just about Trump, but just to be proud of an American who's willing to fight on our behalf. Because folks, listen, we are the government, but we have to choose somebody to take our ideas to Washington. And that's what we're doing with Donald Trump. And Donald Trump took a bullet that night and stood up and put his fist in the air with the flag behind him. You just can't make some, you can't create, Hollywood couldn't create a symbol like that. Now they'll mimic it and they'll copy it, but they couldn't create what just naturally came to be on Saturday night. I mean, it's crazy, folks. Crazy. But I want you, in the midst of this tragedy, you can be proud of your country. You can be proud of our flag, Old Glory. And you can be proud of Donald Trump. You don't have to like him. You don't have to think he's the greatest guy ever. You don't have to think any of those things. But you can respect the strength that he has, the strength that he wants to take to Washington, and then he wants to do it on behalf of American people. Now, you may not all agree with him, but Donald Trump's fighting for the American people. Donald Trump's not going to be an authoritarian. You can't be authoritarian. You can't be a fascist if you believe in freedom and you believe in liberty. And by cutting taxes and cutting regulation and shrinking the size of government, you cannot be a fascist. You can't be an authoritarian. So when they lie about Donald Trump, you need to understand that they're lying about him. You can look at Donald Trump and see this is a man that loves this country. This is a man that literally will take a bullet for this country and literally took a bullet for the people that support him. And we have a beautiful, wonderful flag that so many women and men in uniform have died for. They've spilt blood for. They have prosthetic limbs because of that. They've stood for that flag. And I mean, this is something to be proud of, folks. It's something to be proud of. So don't forget that. Don't forget in this time of craziness, don't forget that. You've got a leader that's proud of the flag. You've got a leader, a guy that's willing to lead, who's proud of the flag. He's proud of this country. He's proud of the Constitution. Just don't forget about that. So, all right, folks, listen. I know we need another hour or two. I didn't get too much into J.D. Vance, but what an interesting pick. I think the message that is sent by Donald Trump with this pick is that he picked a 39-year-old guy. He picked a 39-year-old young guy to take over. So after four – Donald Trump is basically saying, listen, I'm 78 years old. I'm going to only be president for 4 years. I need to set someone up who can be president for 8 more years. And that's J.D. Vance. It's smart what Trump did. And that's the message he's sending by putting a 39-year-old. J.D. Vance is going to learn a lot of things with Trump in 4 years. And then he's going to be ready. If he wins, he'll be ready to take it and go 8 years. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun to watch, folks. Keep an eye on the convention, folks. If you've never watched the convention, watch. This is going to be an amazing convention. Last night was an amazing Republican opening to the convention. Watch the rest, folks. Watch tonight, watch Wednesday, and watch Thursday. You're going to want to see the speech Donald Trump has planned. I think it's going to be an amazing unifying speech. All right, folks, stay tuned. Locked and Loaded's up next. You don't want to miss it. I am sure Roger has an opinion. I didn't even get to my opinion on the sniper shot and all that mess. Maybe we'll talk about that. Maybe I'll stay around for a few minutes. All right, folks, stay tuned. Locked and Loaded's up next with Roger B.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.